As a homeschooling mother of five, I'm so tired of the network's liberal slant, even in the fair and balanced news, that I really enjoy listening to Bob Enyart present current events from a biblical perspective. For example, Daniel obeyed God, even as a government official. So what should we and our Christian leaders learn from that? Please support Bob Enyart Live, spread the word, and consider ordering Bob's great Bible materials, available online at kgov.com, where you can also listen to his program, like I do, at the most convenient time for you. That's at kgov.com. Enjoy!
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We wanted to take our kids to see a nice movie, family-friendly, and we have friends who said the movie Ice Age, The Meltdown, is so cute. It's so funny. You got to take your kids to see it. So we went online to screenit.com. We will not go see a movie until we check it out in advance. And so here's this kid movie, Ice Age, The Meltdown, and it has the word, well, I don't want to say what these words are, but there's a word, it has four times, some kind of a crude reference to human anatomy, a kid's movie, four times, has another word, I'm not going to even give you the first letter, what's the sense, two times, and another word, one time. So you could add those up, right, public school teachers in the audience, that's six vulgar words. If you look at screenit.com under profanity, that's where they have these words, profanity. And this is Ice Age, The Meltdown, which we want our kids to see. And we are not going to do it. We're not going to intentionally bring our kids to movies that have sexually crude humor or using vulgar words for body parts. We're just not going to do it. So we'll have to let Hollywood know in a more and more clear way that Christians will not help their kids to become crude or vulgar or rotten to each other because they're mimicking children's movies. All right, so that's Hollywood. Now, if you keep going west, another couple thousand miles over the Pacific Ocean, you come to another troubling spot, Hawaii, where there is an entrenched Republican governor, Linda Lingle, who is now considering whether to sign a law that would be the most radically pro-abortion law in the entire country, in case Roe v. Wade gets overturned. And Linda Lingle, Republican governor of Hawaii, is radically pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, liberal, entrenched Republican governor. And what do we do about it? Well, I wanted to know, so I figured we'd go to an expert, and that is the public relations guy for Human Life International, Jason Jones. Jason, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
It's great to be on your show, Bob.
Jason, you were a key player in politics in Hawaii for years, and Linda Lingle, you're not one of her favorite people.
So, probably not, no.
So I thought you might help us figure out what can we do. We're in Colorado. We have listeners in Iowa, Des Moines, around the country on the internet. What can we do to try to urge this liberal governor not to sign this terrible law and put it on the books?
Well, Bob, a lot more than you would expect. Hawaii, I'm sure a lot of your listeners go there. Maybe they go there once a year or a couple times a year. Hawaii, for a lot of people, is a second home. It's a home away from home.
Yeah.
And I know you've been there.
We've been there.
My wife at the mall, of all things.
Yeah, well, wasn't that neat? And we've gone there repeatedly to do seminars, perform weddings. You know, somebody's got to go to Hawaii, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, we have millions of visitors a year. It's the most beautiful place on the planet.
It is
gorgeous. And unfortunately, we have such a pro-culture of death government, and although the people, you believe it or not, are very pro-family. So what we can do is just call the governor and say, look, you want to use abortion tourism to attract people when Roe versus Wade is overturned?
Ooh, abortion tourism.
Right, you know, 7 days and your baby's last night, air room and abortion included.
Oh.
And the idea behind this bill is once Roe versus Wade is overturned, You could walk into a clinic or a physician's office, not even an office with ambulatory care, and you could have an abortion in the third trimester, walk right in. You wouldn't have to be a resident, and it could be in a clinic. They've struck viability of the fetus of the unborn child from the code,
right,
because they know when Roe versus Wade overturns, that can't be there. And they want to make sure that they can become an abortion destination.
So, in other words, so this is, we're not mischaracterizing it when we're saying that this would be the most pro-abortion law on the books in America.
Right, and they actually brag about it in the bill.
In the bill.
In the bill it says Hawaii became one of the first states to repeal its law to criminalize abortion. And so they brag about that. And unfortunately, the motto of the state of Hawaii, believe it or not, is the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness.
Yeah.
That's our state motto.
And doesn't that go back to Native Hawaiians?
That's right. The queen became a Christian, a very devout Christian. The Hawaiians.
The queen, Hawaii is the only state that actually has a royal palace within the state.
That's right.
Right? Because what? Colorado never had a royal palace.
No, not yet.
We never had a king. Not yet. Yeah. In Hawaii, I mispronounce his name, King Kamehameha.
King Kamehameha.
And there are some people in Hawaii who want to take the state back.
They do. They do. The Hawaiians, they're very faithful Christians. The people in Hawaii, we have a large Filipino population. They're very devout.
Right.
And unfortunately, though, you've got a radical leftist Democrat party. You've got a Republican party that's filled with wine-sipping, cheese-eating, Prozac-popping country club Republicans. And the people get left out completely. And the Democrats
right.
and the Republicans in Hawaii try to out-compete each other in which group can be more pro-abortion and more pro-homosexual.
Right. And so, but just, I know this is a tangent, but so the people in Hawaii who are advocating a sovereignty movement and give Hawaii back to the natives because they say it was taken wrongly, I point out that, you know, you had kings over centuries who would go to the other islands, kill the king of that island, and take control.
Right.
So you have a chain of injustice going back as far as you can go back.
Right. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. That's the history of the human race, actually. So, Jason, what could we do? Now, you and I, we're friends from a long time ago.
Long time. I'm a Christian because of your show.
Oh, God bless you, Jason. You weren't an atheist, were you?
I was an Ayn Rand pro-life objectivist atheist.
Oh, Ayn Rand. You know,
yeah, you were the first Christian I saw in my life when I watched your show that talked about objective morality. And at the time, I was chairman of the pro-life student union on my campus, and I would go to the Christian groups, and they'd say, well, I'm pro-life, but, I mean, everyone has their own morality, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
And I caught your show. Actually, a friend of mine's sister who was a homosexual was entranced by your show. She watched it every night, and she told me to watch it. And, yeah.
So she was a homosexual. And, Jason, it was so weird because we had so many homosexuals hooked on the show.
You're telling they wanted somebody to tell them the truth.
To tell them the truth. You're destroying yourself. It's a perversion. It's filthy. Jesus Christ can forgive you and save you. So anyway, so you found this show. And, you know, Ayn Rand and her objectivism, I think she should have met some hardcore right-wing Christians.
Right. She was attacking what she thought Christianity was.
Yeah, she was attacking liberal Christianity, which is soft on everything and sort of socialist, and you forgive everyone and you can't judge. And she would point out what an insane world that is. And she was right. So there are people who went to hell because Christians became unnecessary stumbling stones. Let Jesus Christ be the rock of offense, not our own ignorance.
Well, I'm glad you offended me. I was living a very sexually immoral lifestyle, and you made me feel ashamed of myself.
Wow.
What I was proud of, I realized I should be ashamed of.
Wow. So, Jason, you were a college student, and you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're a hardcore right-wing religious fanatic,
That's right.
Christian, pro-life, anti-choice activist, and you spent some years in Hawaii. Really, you knew the political landscape.
It's my home. I mean, I'm still on the board of a crisis pregnancy center there.
Mm-hmm.
I was the director of Hawaii Right to Life. It's my home. I love Hawaii, and we need.
So what can we do?
I'm going to give you the governor's number.
Linda Lingle.
So grab a pencil. and say that if you're going to use abortion to bring money to your state, as a Christian, I can't go there. And although I love the people of Hawaii and I love your state.
All right.
And so hopefully this will work because she's not listening to her people.
Right.
Maybe she'll listen to the tourists.
To the to the fear.
That's right.
Economic reprisals.
Please call. You know, it's a very easy thing to do. And Hawaii's a beautiful state, and you can really help. And so here's the number.
Yeah.
It's 808-586-0034.
All right. We're going to put this number on our website also with today's show.
Thank you, Bob.
808-586-0034 and say, hey, abortion tourism is not what I'm looking for.
Exactly.
Abortion tourism.
They strike the residency requirement so that they can have abortion tourism, so that somebody from out of state can go to have an abortion when Roe versus Wade is overturned.
Right. So we'd like her to veto this bill.
Veto it. She has till August 27th to veto it. She thinks she's going to let it sit on her bill and become law and say, I didn't like it, but.
Till what date? What date?
April 27th.
April 27th. So coming right up here.
Right out.
Okay, now anything else? One phone call? Anything else?
Well, here's the lieutenant governor's number.
Well,
he asked. He's a good Christian man. He wants her to veto it. Let's
all right. Well, wait. Lieutenant governors, they don't have much influence, really. Anything that could have a bigger punch than a lieutenant governor?
You can email the Visitors Bureau.
Okay, now is that in part of the tourism?
Yeah, it's the Travel, Tourism, and Convention Bureau.
That's good. Tourism. Okay.
Okay,
what is that?
That's info.
Info.
At.
Yeah.
HVCB.org.
What is HVCB? It sounds
the
like
Hawaii
an STD.
Visitors and Conventions Bureau.
Oh, HawaiiVisitorsAndConventionsBureau.org. So info, that's like their Department of Tourism?
Yes, that's going to go right to their, you know, complaints line. And
all right. You have a phone number for the tourism folks?
I don't.
Okay, that's all right.
We had a few lines, but we were doing a lot of radio shows, and they said that
all right.
those lines weren't good.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get a good line, but Bob,
okay,
this would be great.
We have the governor's office.
Yes.
Governor Linda Lingle, 808-586-0034. Veto this abortion tourism bill.
Yes, and pray for her, too.
And pray for Linda. And does the bill have a number you could give us?
It does. The bill number is HB 1242.
Okay, House Bill 1242. And email info at hvcb.org.
Yes, sir.
All right. Jason, let's see. Any other update? Hey, how about this? A while back, I believe we sent you a copy of our DVD, Focus on the Strategy. Have you had the opportunity?
I did. It was great. I gave it to some friends. I'm going to order some more and pass it out.
Praise
I'm
the
privileged
Lord.
To, you know, work with a lot of people in a lot of different groups, and I'm going to make sure I get it in all of their hands. And
you know some of those guys on the Republican National Committee.
Right. I actually gave the Catholic Outreach Director for the Republican National Committee the CD today.
You did?
I did.
And don't you know some of the guys in the
Federalist Society. The good thing is when you're in Washington, D.C., you get to become friends with a lot of different people who work for all the guys we know, and even you get to become friends with some of the guys.
Yeah.
And you find sometimes you have to lobby the leaders just like we lobby congressmen or the opposition.
Right.
And they're good men, but sometimes.
All right. So the Federal Society. So do you think you could get one to somebody in that group?
I will.
That'd be great.
I'll do that.
All right. Hey, Jason, I love you. I'm so thrilled we've become friends. Tell your wife, Cheryl, and I said hi.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see the video of your wedding.
Well, I'll make sure I get it right out to you.
Because, Jason, your wedding pictures were the best. Cheryl and I, we couldn't stop looking at them. They were the neatest wedding pictures we had ever seen.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, it's the good contrast. My wife's beautiful, but next to me, she's really beautiful. I tell her that, you know, standing next to her, I look rich.
Yeah, you are rich. God bless you, Jason Jones.
God bless you, Bob.
Thank you. With Human Life International, that's Jason Jones. He's their public relations guy. And when there's trouble in Hawaii, Jason is the person to give us a suggestion on what to do. So let's take a quick break, and we'll figure out what can we do with this Linda Lingle right after this.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
This number. I wonder if it'll work. Let me see here. Let's see. 1-808-586-0034. Governor Linda Lingle.
Aloha, Governor's office.
Aloha, this is KLT Radio in Denver, Colorado. We're on the air right now. Could we get through to the governor?
You'll need to be transferred to the Chief of Media Relations. Let me put you through to his office.
Okay, before you do, can you just ask her, take a note to ask her to veto HB 1242, that's House
sure,
Bill.
Unfortunately, I can't.
You can't pass that message on?
There's protocol, procedures,
okay.
And all.
Well, how about this?
Media must go through the Chief of the...
Can we get her voicemail?
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put you through to...
Her voicemail.
The Communications Department. In fact, I'll put you through to her Senior Advisor of Communications.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Senior Advisor of Communications. Shaka.
Mr. Compass's office, Jen speaking.
Hi, this is KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. We're on the air right now. We were hoping, we were hoping we could just get a message to Governor Lingle.
Okay.
And it's people in Colorado. Tourist, we go to your beautiful state so often, my family and I.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping she will veto House Bill 1242.
House Bill 1242 relating to...
That's the abortion tourism bill.
Mm.
Come to Hawaii for an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to let you know that we're very concerned that Hawaii will be the most pro-abortion state in the union.
Mm.
And we love Hawaii. And we just hate the thought of this happening.
Okay.
All right.
What radio is this again?
KLT AM 670 in Denver, Colorado, 50,000 watts.
KLT AM 670.
Yes.
Thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, that's very easy, right? Now, that woman, I don't know if you could tell, but she's pro-choice. So she was not happy with the message. But she's Linda Lingle, appointee to this position, and she's not thrilled because she wants this law. She's a senior communications director in the Republican governor's administration in Hawaii, and she wants this radical pro-abortion law to pass, but we have to hope that maybe a few thousand of us around the country who call or email and say, veto the abortion tourism bill. And, of course, they don't think of it like that. But it's the abortion tourism bill. And perhaps they might. Not because it's the right thing to do. And if Governor Linda Lingle does veto the abortion tourism bill, don't say, see, the system works. Because it doesn't work. It's just an accident. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. But we're in the battle, and we fight the battle. And as we fight the battle, we teach people the difference between right and wrong. And one of the people who do that best is one of our Colorado pro-life leaders who's known around the country, Joe Scott, wife of Ken Scott. Joe, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks, Bob.
So great to have you on. I heard you were downtown and saw the big news today.
Yeah, I was. was kind of caught in the middle of it.
The pro-illegal immigration rally.
Yes.
So tell us about what happened. You were there.
And there were thousands of unsupervised young kids all over the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the streets. In fact, one ran out in front of my car. I had to slam on the brakes, and he decided he was going the wrong way, and he went across Meridian and ran out in front of someone else's car, and they had to do the same. And I wasn't the only one that was having that kind of a problem.
So this is the pro-illegal immigration crowd.
Right.
And they've encouraged kids all over the country to skip school.
Right.
Now, kids don't need much of a reason to skip school.
No, and they were having a grand old time. There were so many of them, Bob. It was just a really dangerous situation.
So you've seen crowds, and you've helped estimate the size of crowds. So you say there were thousands of kids.
Seemed like that to me. Because I was on Colfax, and you know what Colfax is in relation to the Capitol. You can see the Capitol. The
right.
Capitol grounds were covered. So were all the streets.
Yeah, that's thousands.
Yeah.
That's thousands.
Yeah. And it was very frightening to me as a driver, because these kids were yelling to one another, running in the streets without the lights, and just unsupervised. And I kept thinking, I taught school for years. I would never want to let this many kids go without supervision. Something's going to happen.
Right. So any signs?
I didn't see signs. I saw flags.
Okay. American flags.
No. Mexican flags.
Mexican flags.
Yes.
Not very wise, since they have a political agenda.
That's right.
Not very wise, because you question where their allegiance is. They want to influence the laws of America, and they're saying our allegiance is to Mexico.
Right, I was questioning while I was driving what kind of feelings it's going to cause, or relationship it's going to cause between them and the American citizens. It can only divide.
Yeah, that's true. And think of the students within the public schools. Now, government schools, this is just another good reason to take your kids out of the government schools.
Absolutely.
Because even this, the hostility on this issue could be so problematic and even result in dangerous situations.
Very dangerous situations. Yeah. Where, you know, these kids, where are they going to go after their little rally's over? They're all left downtown on their own. Mm-hmm. What's going on? I don't know.
So,
I saw some buses, but not very many.
So, Joe, I'd like to repeat the KGov immigration solution.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have the time, if you want to hang on while I do this.
Sure.
Because people, obviously, that's one of the biggest issues of the past year, and people ask us, and so we have basically our KGov immigration solution is this. First, you secure the borders, because if you don't have borders, you're not a nation.
Right.
And also you want to keep out convicted murderers, child rapists, and people with deadly communicable diseases. You need some control at the borders.
Yes.
So that's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you end welfare so that everyone in America works and we don't have to suspect the motives of anyone coming here.
Right, or the motives of anyone that's already here.
Or already here, right. If you're coming to America and there is no welfare, it's not because you want to live off the work of others, it's because you want to work.
Right.
Okay, and we need to scrap our criminal justice system and have a good criminal justice system, because today it's not a justice system, it's just a system.
That's right.
It's no longer a justice system, now it's just a system. So you need a good criminal justice system. And then with all that, one of the keys is to remember God said, Jesus Christ said, the greatest command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And America should be a nation that welcomes others. And since the gospel is preached in America far more widely and effectively than other countries, we should realize that when a family comes to America, it significantly increases the chances that they will hear the gospel and respond and become believers.
That's right. And we'd like our nation, through everything that you just said, to become a Christian nation first before we think of ethnicity or national allegiances or anything.
Right, exactly. So, okay, Joe Scott, thank you so very much for that report, and I'm glad you didn't hit the kid.
Oh, so am I.
Okay.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you too, Bob.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now, Curtis, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks, Bob.
What's up?
Well, I was I can understand Joe Scott's frustration about going downtown today. I was also down there at the Capitol.
Yeah.
And it was bedlam. It was chaos.
Oh,
and,
no.
It took to go two blocks, it took maybe about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how bad it was. But when I was driving around there, there was a lone man standing on the corner of, I think, Lincoln and, I want to say, 15th, right across the street from the Capitol.
Yeah, right at Colfax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had a sign that said, Clinton raped Juanita.
Whoa. Clinton raped Juanita. That sounds like one of our KGov protests.
That's why I gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah, Curtis, we've done that all over the country in, 145 cities.
Mm-hmm.
We've had protests, and we've handed out about 100,000 copies of the Wall Street Journal article that stated that Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick when you look at the evidence and speak to the corroborating witnesses.
Well, God bless you for doing that, and God bless that man for being down there, too. But he was by himself.
All right,
but,
Curtis.
He still was a loud witness down there.
Thank you. God bless you for calling. I appreciate you letting us know. Okay, that's pretty neat. Now, we're about out of time. It's an hour show. We're only out of time in Denver because in Iowa we're going to continue after this break. So in Denver, if you'd like to hear the rest of this program, and it's true with every program we do, you go online to KGov, KGOV.com, and you check out these shows. And it's fascinating. Like a couple days ago, we had a caller from Arizona ask about during Prohibition, did drinking increase, stay the same, or decrease? And I pointed out that death from cirrhosis of the liver went way down during the Prohibition years. And so if you go to KGov.com, you look at the summary of every show, and there's a graph, and you'll see how many people died of cirrhosis of the liver and went way down during Prohibition. I'm not saying we advocate prohibition of alcohol, but we should prohibit crack cocaine. So we'll be back right after this. Have you seen the Bob and Yurt Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bob and Yurt Live catalog, or get it on the web at KGov, KGOV.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bob and Yurt Live catalog, so give us a ring. Kids movies that we absolutely will not see because, well, a lot of them have sexual humor in them. And some of them get absolutely despicable. There was one movie called Baby about a baby dinosaur that was found by some couple that were out, you know, the guy's a scientist or something like that. And they're all over Africa. They find this baby dinosaur. And so during this movie, here's how we end up seeing this movie. A friend of ours was moving, and a family, and they thought, well, we'll get a kid's video so the kids could watch a video while we're moving all around them. So the kids are watching this movie, and we're carrying furniture in and out. And somebody says, was that just a naked woman on that show a second ago? And I thought, no, it's a kid's movie. And it turns out that they figured, well, because it's in Africa and the women are black, it's okay to have naked women, virtually naked women, fully topless women, in this kids movie called Baby, about a couple that finds a baby dinosaur. So, of course, we turn it off. The kids watching it are young kids of varying ages from 2 to 10. So we turn off this video, and we take it, and I give it to my producer. And it turns out that the man and his girlfriend in the movie, searching for the baby dinosaur in the kids' movie, that they end up basically having sex together. They're not married, and they're at a campfire. I forget if they're drinking or what. It's night, and she starts to disrobe, and it cuts right away. But the idea is they're going to have sex. Then there are other scenes where people are doing drinking or taking drugs and getting high. And there's plenty of scenes of nudity, not one, but a number of scenes of nudity. So I gave it to our producer of the TV show, Bob and Yurt Live, and I asked him, edit together all the cuts that have to do with drunkenness or drugs or nudity or sexual immorality, put them all together, and then censor out anything inappropriate. And we played it on TV, and I think it was about, now I'm guessing, 4.5 minutes long of drugs, sexual immorality, and nudity in a kids' movie. So I simply despise Hollywood. Now, in Columbia, Missouri, Michael, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Well, I just wanted to give I really shouldn't say a plug, so us wacky Christians have to say a praise report.
A praise report.
How about that? Not just for Sunday morning.
Okay, right.
Nationwide, worldwide, actually.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention, of course, I've been a supporter to the extent I've been able to be a supporter of Bob and Yurt Live for a while, and just how much your ministry has blessed me, how much I've grown through your ministry, and how much I've gotten corrected in my false doctrine, false theology over the years.
Michael, it's very humbling to take your call, and it's also encouraging, though. In fact, when we're done, I find out when you and I are done on the phone, there's somebody else we're going to talk to from Missouri, a guy named Greg.
Yes, my good friend Greg. Which is one thing that I wanted to mention to you was, because I know it's good to get a return and know that, you know, the Lord is working, you know, through your ministry and for what he's enabled you to do as a teacher and as a pastor. And I consider you my pastor, even though virtually, you could say. Unfortunately, in the area I live, it's a very liberal area, and the churches don't know how to rightly divide the word. And so through your materials, through your ministry, Denver Bible Church and Theology Online, and also through KGov and the radio show, and the materials that you offer through your show, my family and I, friends, coworkers, have been able to have virtual church, you could say.
Wow.
Through the monthly sermons, the monthly Bible studies, the print materials, the plot, et cetera.
Wow.
And I've really adopted secondhand, I guess you could say, a lot of your materials to share with others. And I have a good friend and co-worker, Greg, who I've had a work relationship with for a while and got to visit with him about, just in through conversations about the Lord and what he believes, et cetera. And he was not a believer. And he got very interested in and was searching for truth, having been through all of the other possible ways to God, or even rejecting God entirely as a reported atheist.
Wow.
And he has since come to the Lord recently.
Praise God.
The last couple of months through, he's read the plot. I think he's got a great start as a new believer, having read the plot and having an overview to the entire Bible and knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth and to hopefully avoid confusion on doctrine and be an effective witness as well.
Michael, I am so excited to hear about Greg. Now, when a new believer reads the plot, that is our manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, it really could help him avoid years of confusion, because people who get saved and then they bounce from church to church or radio show to radio show, and they hear all these conflicting doctrinal views. And one thing that gets lost in the process is they never really get a solid overview of the whole Bible.
No, not at all. Or they have Camp A, Camp B position on said issue.
Right.
They pick Camp A until someone comes along and convinces them of, well, you should really join Camp B, and here's why, and here's the verses why. And so then they adopt, well, I'm Camp B now.
Until somebody else comes along and says, well, look at all these verses you overlooked in the first
right.
place.
And they didn't learn anything new. All they did was switch positions.
Right, and there are these proof texts and the problem texts, and Christians get so frustrated that many of them don't enjoy reading the Word of God because they read it and it seems to contradict what they hear on Christian radio or Christian TV or in the latest book. And so what the plot does is it says, let's step back for a moment. And before we dig in on any particular doctrinal issue, let's get an overview of the story of the Bible. And that is the key to its details.
Absolutely. I distinctly remember you reading a letter on the air a few years ago that started out with, Dear Bob, thank you for ruining my life. Of course, it wasn't a negative letter. It was a letter of encouragement of another life change because of someone who learned the big picture and then was able to work out the details. So.
Amen. For example, in the Bible, there's a covenant of law and a covenant of grace. And many Christians have a bit of a hard time explaining those. And remember that Abraham had two sons, one of the flesh and one of faith. And in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Ten Commandments are represented by one of Abraham's sons. Which one? Was it the son of the flesh or the son of faith?
The son of the flesh.
The son of the flesh. But Michael, you're able to answer that correctly because you've taken the time to look at an overview of the Bible. You know there are two covenants, and you know that God would say that the Ten Commandments are represented by the son of the flesh, by Ishmael. And most Christians, they don't have a solid overview. They don't understand the covenant of circumcision and how it fits in. They don't understand how Abraham could be the father of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. They don't even know what these things mean, and they're a crucial part of the whole story.
Right, and we're just left with, well, here's what I think. And that bothers me so much when fellow believers, or unbelievers, not as much, but especially Christians.
Yeah. Well, and for example, where does the Bible talk about circumcision more? In the Old Testament or in the New Testament?
In the New Testament.
That's right, in the New Testament. But Paul says that we should not be circumcised in obedience to God's covenant of circumcision. If we are, we're cursed.
That's right.
Now, it's okay to be circumcised for cultural reasons, but don't circumcise in obedience to the covenant of circumcision, because if you do, you're cursed. That's the opposite of what God said previously. He said, if you don't circumcise, you're cursed.
That's right. That's what Jesus taught. That's what Peter taught the rest of the apostles.
Yeah.
Most believers don't know that Peter and Paul were at odds with each other.
Well, there was tension. And when Peter and Paul got together, there was tension. And the New Testament doesn't make believe the tension didn't exist. It documents it so that we could learn as we understand the interface between these two covenants. So Peter and Paul would come together and there would be a problem to resolve. It would always be resolved in Paul's favor.
That's right.
And sometimes Peter came away looking pretty badly, like in Galatians 2, when Paul called Peter a hypocrite to his face and said he was to be blamed because he was lying about the gospel. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. But most Christians don't even know that those passages are in the Bible because they don't fit. They don't understand. Why would the apostles have to work through tension and difficulty?
And why would they have to write a letter endorsing or giving the okay or stamp of approval on Paul's different message?
On Paul's message, which confused them, although the Holy Spirit confirmed that Paul was preaching what Jesus Christ wanted him to preach. So even though Paul was saying, don't circumcise, when Jesus Christ himself, our God and creator and savior, had been circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. We read in what, Luke chapter 2. We read that, and God had said circumcision is a perpetual covenant. And then all of a sudden, if you circumcise, you're cursed. Why is that?
Yeah, what happened? What changed?
Yeah, but if you don't have an overview of the Bible, this is just one small example of how confused you will be. And if you think the example only applies to circumcision, you got another thing coming, because it applies to almost everything.
Make a list.
Make a list, and that's what we do. All right, so, Michael, tell me about this Greg.
Just in addition to what I mentioned earlier, Greg and I have gotten to be very good friends just through working together and also just having the opportunity to share with Greg. And it was somewhat of a challenge. It always is when you try to form a relationship, because what's the most important thing in the world? Relationships.
Relationships.
And so God has really taught me a lot of lessons in my 11 years as a believer about, it starts with, one person and one other person. You can't go out and win the world all at once. I mean, that's why, God started with his, with a small group, with Abraham. And
with
his,
Abraham.
His family.
And
Isaac. Then go out and reach the world. And it took me a while to recognize that and to be able to invest time in someone. And your ministry has helped me do that, because I was not able to do that before. And so just through sharing what I had learned through the Bible studies from your ministry, through the plot, and the teachings of the plot, it helped me be a better witness. It helped me. People are looking for truth. They're searching for answers. But most Christians don't get past, well, that's what the Bible says. But what good does that do to an unbeliever who questions the very existence of God?
When an unbeliever rejects the Bible, Scripture still says that we should be ready to give an answer, a reason as to why we believe.
Absolutely.
And that's what the apostles and the prophets did. And the people they talked to, they didn't say, oh, I agree with everything you say. They had answers for them. And so we should also, when we don't have an answer, then that's all right. We say, that's a good question. I'll get back to you.
That's right. And people that are legitimately or honestly hungry for truth, they know it when they hear it, and they want more.
So Greg came to the Lord. How did that happen?
Well, mainly just recognition. As far as I know, we would have a lot of exchanges over just instant messaging, et cetera, through our conversations at work and what have you, and he acknowledged that he did accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that he had humbled himself, that he had acknowledged and believed in his heart that Jesus is God and God raised him from the dead, and his continue to learn and grow in that new relationship has really been evident in the last few weeks and months. And
praise the Lord. Now, what was the role of TOL, Theology Online, which is a ministry of Denver Bible Church, and I'm partial to it. I think it's the best Christian forum on the Internet.
The role of TOL, more than anything, was, at least for people who are inquisitive and or especially like debate or what have you, was more of a tool that sparked interest. It was a venue or an avenue to express yourself, differing opinions, et cetera.
Right.
I actually felt a little regret for introducing him to TOL because, as you know, so much is discussed that is not correct.
Yeah, there's a lot of robust debate on Theology Online. They're atheists, and they're occasionally homosexuals. They're all kinds of unbelievers who come to TOL, and they say there is no God, or you could get to heaven through Buddha or whatever. And then there are Christians who will witness and confront. And then when somebody gets saved, those same Christians will help disciple that new believer.
Right. And so I know that he spent a lot of time there. And probably the only regret that I had was if he was influenced in a negative way, which he wasn't, to my knowledge. And because that's always a possibility when someone is searching.
Yeah, it's the real world. We're in the real world.
And
right.
But it just really has been a blessing to me to be able to, use what I've learned through your ministry and how much of a benefit it is not having a church here that does rightly divide, or, a home church per se, is to know that, we still have fellowship through Denver Bible Church, through the materials there. We so much look forward to every month getting the monthly sermons. We just got March in. Another coworker subscribes to the monthly Bible studies, and we just so much look forward to that because we get to have church the way that you should have church.
And do you get them on audio tape or MP3 CDs?
MP3 CD. And another coworker became involved or interested in your ministry, coming out of a different type of church background, and went through the plot, had signed up for the DVD a month. So we look forward to those every month.
The DVD, the monthly video from Bob and Yurt Live.
Right. By the way, Live from Las Vegas is the absolute best production for not only entertainment value, but also for educational value as well on the hot topics. And we just love that so much.
Live from Las Vegas. We're in Las Vegas on the floor of the convention center, and we paste $100 to the microphones. And we say, you get 3 minutes to stump the host, a 3-minute debate, pick your topic, and if you win, you get $100.
And what the sad part was, the folks on there that you could tell at least professed to be or made themselves out to be a Christian were unfortunately...
So humanist in their worldview.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the death penalty or, you know,
so
what
many
have you.
Topics. Okay, now let's go to Greg, also in Columbia, Missouri. Greg, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you on, Greg. What an honor. And Michael, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you, but not Greg, but that's okay.
All right. Well, Greg, Michael just shared with us how you came to the Lord through learning about the gospel from him and through some of your efforts on theologyonline.com, where you found Christians and unbelievers. So could you tell us, give us, from your perspective, what's happened in your life?
Okay, well, me and Michael have worked in the same place for about 2 years. He's worked there longer than me. And actually, when I started, he trained me to do what I do. And at the time, I was an atheist. Well, actually, let me go back a little further. I have a Catholic upbringing,
right,
which I know you do.
Yes.
Michael does as well. So we have that in common. And I think we all know that there's a lot of false teaching there, which I've learned. Mm. And after being saved, discovering God, reading the plot, I now understand why I rejected it, because it's false teaching.
Well, for example, I went to 8 years Catholic grammar school and basically was taught any religion will get you to heaven, will get you to God. And there are millions of Catholics who believe that, some who don't. But Jesus Christ said that he was the only way to the Father. There was no other way. And he came to die to save us. And if you reject him, that's just rejecting God and telling God, I don't want you. I don't want to live with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just talking to my parents, who, my mom, she went, you know, her whole life to a Catholic school and went to Mass every Sunday, unless, of course, it was inconvenient and they were going to go out. Then they went to Saturday Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But she has absolutely no understanding of what the Bible is about at all.
Mm.
And it's a shame.
So you started working with Michael a couple of years ago. What industry?
We work in the insurance industry.
Insurance industry. And so then he started to witness to you?
Well, at first, and I don't even think I've told Michael this, but I'll share it with you and him now. I kind of resented him for his belief, and even at the time, he wasn't witnessing to me or anybody, but I could tell that he had certain beliefs, and of course, me as an atheist at the time.
As an atheist and very open-minded and multicultural, you resented that he believed something that you didn't.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
And through, you know, the course of time, I don't know, we started talking about, you know, non-Christian-related stuff, and slowly it worked its way in, and I thought, well, it's going to be my job to change his mind.
Right.
Well, was I ever wrong? Because,
praise God.
Because, yes, you know, I owe him a lot next to God and Jesus. you know, Michael's right up there as somebody that's definitely saved my life.
Oh.
And I really, you know, there's no way I could ever repay what he's done for me.
Wow. Well, you know what? I think that a thank you would be sufficient. And we all feel, we all are so humbled before God because the very fact that he's willing to use us is so humbling because we were enemies of his, and yet he died for us.
Yeah.
And so we share the truth of his love with others, and those who respond in humility and they ask God to forgive them and to trust in Jesus Christ, then they're saved. Such a blessing. So, Michael, we're almost out of... I'm sorry, Greg. Greg, we're almost out of time. Is there any last thing you'd like to say?
Other than, I'm going to take this opportunity right now. I want to thank Michael. I want to thank you for writing the plot, which definitely helped me see correctly and understand. I just can't express myself like I would like to.
Well, you've done that, Greg, very well. I want to thank you so very much, and Michael. So God bless you guys, and keep us up to date on how things are going there in Columbia.
Oh, we sure will.
We'll do. God bless you, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
God bless you both. Wow, what an encouraging couple of calls from a longtime listener and then somebody who's new to this ministry. And we talked a lot about theologyonline.com. That's a ministry of Denver Bible Church. So if you're interested in things we're talking about on the air, and then you think, hey, I have an opinion on that, just go to our website, kgov.com, and you could click on the Bob in Your Life forum. It says click here to email Bob, click here to give a comment. And then you'll be right on theologyonline.com, and you could see there's a tremendous discussion going on every topic at TOL on any given day. So you'll enjoy that. So check us out at kgov.com. This is Bob Enyart. Looking forward to tomorrow. God bless you.